Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the After the Facts podcast. I'm your host, Peter, joined this week, as usual, by Tom and Donnie. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okie dokie. Let's get stuck into all the nitty-gritty stuff and some housekeeping. First of all, the Kevin Van Veen Cup final has now been finalised. We have FPL Liger versus Lockie Hyatt, I believe that's how it's pronounced. So regardless who wins, we're going to have a new champion, some of the youth community. So I think that's a good thing. As much as I like to see old faces kicking about, it's good to have some new players or players maybe not who have not really... I can't remember any of these names been going deep in any competitions the last year or two. So,
no. This
is quite good. So, we'll see you in the next 2 weeks while the new champion. And then, obviously, after that, as you know, I can't help myself. There will be a new cup getting into this shortly afterwards. A lot of people's favourite cup, actually, because you're actually in it for longer because it's not like a straight knockout. But anyway, I digress. Next up is our own league. So, there is no change at the top. Yoshi's Bus Driver, number one, 654 overall. Sex, Drugs, Devante Cole, that is Greg the Bell fan, number 2, 69 overall, and up to third, Samuel Michael, 5. Now, that's anybody who ring a bell, is quite a lot in all the cups. Lawrence and the Machine, 622 overall. So before we get to our scoring rank, I think it would be remiss for me to mention last week's scores on the other podcast. I'm sure he's all heard it. Dory tweeted that as well. Peter got a wild card, probably the best wild card I've ever seen in my life. Probably, I can't even 110 points in a wild card. Everything kind of landed. Pretty disappointed to a podcast on it. But I thought about it, Tom. The podcast was before the Ross County game, so it wouldn't have actually. I was thinking, oh, hopeful, but it didn't happen. But everything landed perfectly. I mean, goalkeeper Laidlaw 12 points, Tavernier captain 12, Brown 5, Beck 6, Raskin 10. The only flaw probably flying out was Hattati with 3 points, but I don't need to replace him. Kelly 7, O'Reilly 11, Armstrong 12, Seema 16, Furuhashi 16, Vice. That gave me a rank rise, or that gave me 700 places or something like 600 places up to 31st. But that was last week, and as Donny said off podcast, you're looking at your last game week, so we're going to score. So we'll start from bottom to top. Tom, score and rank this week.
So I got 59 points this week, and my overall rank is 327. Looking at the points, I had Clark in goals for nothing. Back line of Brown, 1. Tav, 26. Ndaba, nothing. Midfield of Palmer, 3. Armstrong, 8. O'Reilly, 4. Kelly, 2. Up front, I had Seema, 2. Vice-captain Furuhashi, 2. And Murray, 11.
And what rank would you say, 300 and...
327th.
Right, but we're all in the right direction. Okay, Dory, up next, you.
Okay, so I got 65 points this game week. Starting goals, I had Hemmings for 7, Casey for 4, Captain Taff 26, Scales 5, O'Hara 2, Boyle 3, Armstrong 8, O'Reilly 4, Kelly 2, Seema 2, and Vice Captain Kyogo 2. So that's 65 points for the week. Global score is 603. Last time I spoke on here, I was 604. I am up 522 places. I am now 82nd. So, okay. Certainly heading in the right way for me.
Top 100. And this week, I scored 54 points. That gives me a rank of 35, so dropped 4 places. That was actually helped by Tav on the Sunday because I dropped you at a lower net. So I had Laidlaw on goals for minus 2 points. So his heroics last week to this week, but that's what happens again. Brown 1 point, Captain Cab 26. Beck again, another return 6. Palmer 3, Armstrong 8, O'Reilly 4, Kelly 2, Raskin 2, Seema 2, and Vice Captain Furuhashi 2. So a pretty much meh game week, but no rank fall really to talk about. So we'll go to the results and we'll talk through some Tom stats because the game week is midweek this week. So this podcast should get to you before hopefully deadline. If not, then just enjoy our usual nonsense. Right, let's see. The scores for the last week was Saturday kickoff with St Mirren 4, St Johnstone 0. That was obviously the Steve McLean's last game in charge of St Johnstone's, another managerless club. Motherwell 3, Ross County 3, Livingston 0, Dundee 2, Hibs 0, Celtic 0, Kilmarnock 2, Aberdeen 0 on the Sunday, and Rangers 2, Hearts 1 on the Sunday. So, Tom, over to you.
Yep, so first one I've got, Hibs 0, Celtic 0. Obviously, not a lot to report here. James Forrest hit the woodwork, and that's probably Celtic's closest chance in this fixture. Hitati obviously out, and there's talk of him being out until the new year. And more of that's kind of came to light today. So need to those that are still hanging on to him, I probably need to think about a move there. I think a lot of people ended up doing Hitati to Palmer this week, but unfortunately it didn't pay off. Hitati has been a bit frustrating this season. However, he looks to be a big miss with those moments of magic that he seems to produce. So it will be a concern. I don't really fancy Turnbull. So Celtic attackers perhaps want to keep an eye on. In terms of Hibs, they've been lacking attacking-wise. They've only scored in one out of their last four games, which was the Edinburgh Derby with Ellie Ewan, bringing back a draw with Hearts for the 2-2. The defence has some promise. Outside of Celtic and Rangers, they're joint top with Hearts and Dundee with four clean sheets so far this season. Obita seems to be the cheapest path into the Hibs defence at 2.6 million. He's playing at left back and may offer some attacking returns as well. We've got Lewis Miller on the other side. He's 0.5 more at 3.1 million. He already has one goal and one assist this season, and he's actually the third highest scoring defender in the game. So perhaps if you're willing to spend a little bit more, he'd perhaps be the one to go for. That's about it, really. Peter, did you watch the snooze fest?
Yeah, it was a bit of snooze fest, wasn't it? That was the definition of a European hangover. All adrenaline for the Atletico game and then to the dullness of that. Fantasy-wise, yep, Hibs do look more solid at the back. I don't know if we were playing it last week at Ibrox. Missed this game when they came out, and it's Dory actually called it. Hearts and Hibs would come out and play football, and that would suit, and it did. And he obviously learned his lesson last week, tied up at the back. And if they can keep Kiss going forward, because he seems to have a decent way of looking at this defence, kind of playing defensively, then I think, yep, option in the back would be good. Also, he seems to know what he's doing, this manager. I know it's early in his reign to say, oh, they could be doing this, but they do look like they're going the right direction under him. So I don't have any Hibs assets right now, but they've got a blank next week. So after that, if we see how they go on in this mid-week game, how they go on in the cup, we'll see. Maybe looking to make inroads in there. Celtic-wise, poor performance, I suppose. Didn't get beat, can't complain. I thought for a 10-minute spell on the Sunday, they'd actually widen the gap until Rangers crazy fun by one of their game weeks, but didn't happen. On the Hitati front, Palmer, okay, didn't look great, but if you're looking for alternatives, it's going to be who actually cements that third midfield spot. I believe it's going to be between Iwata and... Is it Bernabe? I always say Bernabe. What's his name? Is it
Bernardo.
Right. I keep on wanting to say Bernabe, even though it's Archie guy. But anyway, and talk online from the kind of tactic heads was that whoever comes in might actually play in the base of the midfield, which would push McGregor forward. So McGregor might be the one to go for if he's playing in a more advanced role. That's what he keep eye on, especially tomorrow night. So Cal McGregor might be playing further up, and he is another one that's never going to get dropped because he's a captain, so he might become the viable midfield option. Just want to keep an eye on for that point-wise. But for that, yeah, the game was pretty boring. None to kind of report on.
Yep. Donny, what's your thoughts on this one?
I like the use of the phrase European hangover. I've only Celtic had a big enough squad. Such
squad?
A shame. But no, you know, it felt like drop points. on Saturday evening, but it certainly doesn't feel like that on Sunday evening. It was almost felt like they were going to extend our lead, but we'll talk a bit more about that later. I was travelling home on Saturday afternoon, so I was trying not to look at the scores, because you know yourself, the more you look at it, the more it's likely to change. So I was very pleased to see a second 0-0 of the season for Celtic. Fantasy-wise, clean sheet was nice. I don't think anyone else would have got much from this game. Kyogo with another blank. I know somebody's asked a question about Kyogo. I don't see it as concerning myself. I think stats tell you you're probably going to have to stick with him. So for me, Kyogo, Riley, Scales, I'm happy with that trio. You're talking about other players in the midfield. The chops and changes so much. Palmer looked like he was going to be the next big thing, but he's gone quiet, so it's just to see who's next. Fixture-wise, Hibs actually do play game week 12. I know they've got the cup at the weekend, but they've got a game the following week, so they do actually play. And the fact that they've played Rangers and Celtic now will mean they've got a good run. So the manager does seem to have a bit more tactics about him. Okay, Rangers hammered them, but you know, these games happen. So for me, I think defensively it is a team that you can look at. I've still got Boyle, as I had to make a change defensively. I think this Ross County game will be his last chance. I think if he can explode, then fair enough. If he blanks again, then I'll just get rid of him for like a mother one midfielder. So that's not a problem. Celtic, they've got St Mirren next, which, you know, St Mirren are playing well, tough team to beat. And then a couple of easy games, Ross County and Aberdeen. So just one of those weekends. It's very few and far between. Celtic dropped points, Rangers closed the gap. So I will certainly take that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Surprised Peter didn't mention Boyle with his keen nose.
No, well, this obviously gets you on Boyle. He keeps on changing where he plays him. He plays him out the left and plays him behind the striker. So he's not nailed down. Ideally for us, we want him playing in that 10 role where he always played and becomes a second striker. But occasionally he's put him out the left, so he's more like a winger. So it's something to keep an eye on. If he nails the wing position, it's less chance of returns, I think, because he's obviously ideally through the middle behind a striker. Maybe you're used to having him playing. There you go. Actual praise, Boyle. There we go. I thought he looked quite well against us.
Next fixture then, Livingston 0, Dundee 2. For Dundee, it was a Shaughnessy brace and assist came from Silla and Portales. Livingston got a red card. It was Montano that was sent off. Wasn't till the 70th minute though, so still praise for Dundee there. Probably the most noticeable thing in the game for fantasy owners would be the fact that Bakayoko was benched. It's a possible concern. I don't know what you guys thought, sir, if it was tactical or if there's been reports of a knock that I've maybe missed. Other than that, Luke McCowan, 3 shots on target, but he's done little since the opening game weeks of the season. At one point, I think he was like the second highest scorer in mid, but he's not really produced anything since then. But there's some stats there, perhaps one to keep an eye on. Bakayoko obviously was subbed on during the game. He managed to get a couple of shots on target and even had a goal ruled off by VAR, so he came on at half time, so if I was a Bakayoko owner, I'd probably be sticking with him for the time being. Obviously, Shaughnessy, 2 goals to add to his 1 assist. He's 2.9 million. Previously on the pod, we've championed Owen Beck as a cheap route into the Dundee defence, and he is quite attacking as well. His price has risen, and he's only 0.1 cheaper now. He does just have 1 assist and no goal, so perhaps Shaughnessy could be the Dundee defender of choice. In terms of looking at Livingston, nothing for Kelly this week. He's probably the only Livy player that I'd hold just now. As a team, they didn't have any shots on target, and usually at home to Dundee, you'd expect a lot more than that. So, again, as I mentioned, the red wasn't until the 70th minute, so they still had 70 minutes to try and do something there, but apart from Kelly, I think they're probably in the avoid category for me. But Kelly is, given his price, is a great enabler option. Donny, you obviously presented Kelly with us a few weeks ago.
I did indeed. And, you know, all latecomers to the Sean Kelly train missed out. Sorry about that, but he should have been on him a few weeks ago. at the price, as you say, you just got to keep him in there. He'll hit or miss, you know, week in, week out. You just got to take your chances. But it was a good win for Dundee. It was only their second win of the season. But despite that, they're up to fifth in the table, which shows you how inconsistent all the other teams are. Bakayoko came on at half-time, as you say, the goal chopped off, and certainly Dundee were better in the second half. So whether that will, you know, nail him for the next game, we'll just have to wait and see. But it does against Rangers, so I would probably lean in against changing that. I will probably change my third striker. Looking to the double game week, I'll talk a bit more about that later, but Bakayoko is probably the one who's most at risk there. I did see one team with Shaughnessy in it, so well done for that one. There was not much else. I know people have got Dundee defence from the double game week that turned out to be a single game week, so if they've held on to those, well done. But again, they've got Rangers next, so hopefully it's not another clean sheet off the back of that. Fixture-wise, both teams play Rangers, so you're just going to have to watch out. I think defensively, you could go either team for your cheap options, but you will hit and miss. You know, it's just going to be potluck. Peter, I think you've maybe got Dundee defence with your wild cards. This is something you'll need to monitor over the next few weeks. But game-wise, it was just a miss from a fantasy point of view, so not much else I can say.
Mm-hmm. In the blank, they do that at home to Livingston, who they've beat there. So perhaps a hold. What's your thoughts, Peter?
Yeah, I'm just going to hold. It was really cheap asset right now. I think Dundee slowly and quietly looked better every game week. I think they play against us a week ago against Celtic. Sorry, I thought they set up really, really well. So I'll be interested to see how they play against Rangers. Still expecting us to win, but I'd like to see how they still keep it up and defensively going forward. Beck's a good option, I think. I'm just keep Poulton as my cheap defender. Kelly for Livingston, I don't really see any other player I want there right yet. Maybe Penrice at that point, but I've actually moved Penrice to Beck. And for Bakayoko situation, I was reading it online that the Dundee fans were kind of surprised he was dropped. And then they were glad when he came back on, because I think he's got quite a big unit as well. So the game kind of changed a bit. He was obviously a better player. So there might be some better third option strikers coming up. We'll discuss that later, but I think for myself, I'll keep him right now. There's no reason to change him, especially when a couple of injury concerns you mentioned already. You mentioned Tati. I had Raskin in my team, he was injured. And Ndaba, I believe, is out again for a few weeks. So I brought in a suit. So there's rather fast to put out first before I would get to the back of Yako situation. So, decent hold.
Yep. Next fixture then, we have St Mirren 4, St Johnston 0. I'd probably say St Johnston are still in a void for the time being. In terms of St Mirren, it was Backus that scored with an assist from Kilty. Mandron scored the second and third with an assist from Olusanya. And then Kilty got the fourth. One goal and one assist for Kilty now. I'm thinking he's probably the new O'Hara, who's not really done much since he came back from injury. They're both the same price at 4.1 million. Kilty's got on 42 points now versus O'Hara's 27, and he does play a lot more advanced. Obviously, doesn't have the penalties, but St Mirren aren't really getting many of those just now. Mandron obviously got a brace. He's only 3.8 million. Perhaps a new cheap striker option. He had one goal and one assist prior and managed three shots on target this game. He does face Celtic next, so it gives you a bit of breathing space before you've got to consider whether you're going to get him in or not, perhaps. And St Mirren do have a double game week in game week 12, which is Livingston at home and County away, which looks pretty good. I don't think I've got any St Mirren players, so I'll probably have to start shifting those guys in. Peter, what's your thoughts on the game, and are you planning ahead for St Mirren assets?
St Johnstone straight away, first of all, was a complete avoid. So they've sacked a manager, so wait to see who they get in. Depending on who they get in, I've heard rumours that actually Martin Bale's linked. So if he gets a job, he can work his magic there. That would maybe be interesting for the tail end of the season, but until that's kind of set in stone, no point. I've heard Neil Lennon's linked as well, but these are guys who probably come in and, I know Tom laughs at Neil Lennon now, he probably come in, maybe get something out the players that are there, but again, it's a wait and see. St Mirren, I have no St Mirren assets, and it's probably something I've looked for quite a while. They do look really good. The double game week, I think, is it St Mirren and Motherwell the double game week? Is that the two teams?
It's just Motherwell
and Ross County.
Is it?
I thought the
No.
game was suspended, Tom. That's why I thought it was not.
Yeah. It's just
I don't know.
Motherwell that play twice.
I'm looking at Sutton's ticket here. So Motherwell play twice in game week 12, and then St Mirren and Ross County play twice in game week 14.
Let me
Yeah,
see.
So 14. So we've got a couple of weeks for that one. Yeah, that's right enough. You said game week 12.
Say
That was
12,
all.
Tom. That's what you threw us off. I thought I was getting mixed up there. Yeah.
I said game week 14. No.
Well, answer your question, yes. I will look at game week 14 for them, but as it stands now, I'll be more on who was the players I liked. So the striker you mentioned, but with that, he's playing Celtic next, so it's something you can kind of cool off on and wait, unless it goes nuts against Celtic. We've got a question on Kilty later, so I don't really want to get into the Kilty thing. We'll talk about that because I think that's something actually the question was in before I watched the highlights, so I did take more note of that. Something we'll talk about. And I think you can be sound with the fullbacks, Tanzer and Strain, if you can go there. I think they will return more often than not if they're going to keep clean sheets like this. I think Strain missed this game for suspension still, didn't he? So it was just Tanzer that played, so he were back. Apart from that, it's the usual suspects and avoid St Johnstone to find out who takes charge and what he can do with the squad.
Donny?
Yeah, so it was a solid win for St Mirren. They're consolidating that third place in the league. And to be fair, you can't really blame them. They've had some good results this season. From a fantasy point of view, it was all a bit of a miss with the scorers and the assists. So it was just unfortunate. I've got Hemming goals, so I managed to get a clean sheet there. So I was quite happy with that. Fixtures. I mean, St Johnstone do have a good run of fixtures. If the new manager can come in and at least steady them at the back, they might have a hope. They've got Kilmarnock, Motherwell, and Ross County. So again, if you're wanting a punt, that might be the way to go. St Mirren play Celtic. They'll be hoping to catch them misfiring in the same way that Hibs done. But for me, O'Hara, a fullback or the keeper, I think it's the same names that we just talk about each week for St Mirren. Up front, I don't really, you know, Mandron got a lot of points this game. I'd need to see a bit more from him before I can maybe look at him as an option. Maybe if they do play twice in 14, that's one that we can potentially stick a pin in. But no, good win for St Mirren. Hopefully they keep the form going midweek.
Next fixture then, we have Motherwell 3, Ross County 3. For Motherwell, it was Beerith with the penalty, Conor Wilkinson with the second with an assist from Beerith, and Luca Ross got the third with an assist from Dan Casey. For Ross County, Brophy scored the first goal with an assist from Kyle Turner, Simon Murray with the second with an assist from Harmon, and Loturi got the third. Stats-wise in this game, no player particularly stood out. Spittle has been quite quiet recently. I think I got rid of him a while ago, but just never really been felt compelled to get him back in. Beerith, he's only played two game weeks, but he seems to be a likes a haul anyway. He's only 4.2 million striker. In two games, he's managed two goals and two assists, five bonus points, which translates to 12 points in game week two and 13 points in game week 10. So if he can stay fit, he might be a gem of a third striker. He's at home to Aberdeen this game week. We're coming to that, but Killy did well against Aberdeen. And they do have the double game week in 12, which is Kilmarnock and St Johnstone away. Dan Casey got an attack in return. However, Motherwell seem to be struggling for clean sheets, and I feel there's perhaps better options available elsewhere in defence. But Donny, what's your thoughts on this, and are you going to target Motherwell for the double?
Yeah, I started that this weekend. I took in Casey. I had an Aberdeen defender that was out injured, so I just took a punt. And fortunately for me, despite conceding three goals, he did get an assist. So I landed quite lucky with that one. Beerith will get mentioned a lot, I imagine, in this podcast, but he is coming back from injury and they do play again on Wednesday. So, you know, whether he plays that, then the back-to-back fixtures we're just going to have to watch out for. But he's certainly the third striker target for the next couple of weeks. Again, the Ross County defensive owners, you know, rewarded last week with a clean sheet but punished this week with the three goals against, and Peter no more so than having Laidlaw conceding the penalty, but you know, he's still going to have value week in, week out. It certainly saves a lot during some of these games. So just unfortunate it didn't work out. I guess the main points from a 3-3 game, Spittle returned very little, so it's worth keeping that in mind. Danda, who I know a lot of people have got a soft spot for, he was hooked at half-time, and then Ross County went on to score 3 in the second half, so you might want to take that into consideration. Beerith took a penalty, which I'm not sure we've seen yet for Motherwell, or we have, I don't remember who it was, but him being on pens is always going to be a good one. Fixture-wise, Ross County, Hibs, Celtic, St Johnston, so there's a bit of a mixed bag there. Motherwell, Aberdeen, then a double Achilles, St Johnston for facing Hearts. So for me, Motherwell is the team that we're going to eye up over this next week, and Beerith maybe be the main man of the weekend that we can all invest in. But good end-to-end game, Motherwell just nicking the draw at the very last minute.
Pierre, anything to add there?
Yep, it was a good game. The highlights looked quite good. Ross County did their usual, spreading the points out amongst different players all the time. There's nobody really you can kind of hang your hat on. Like Donny mentioned, Laidlaw, I think he's just a set and forget keeper now, because I'm quite sure at the end of the season he'll check the top 4 or 5 goalkeepers and he'll be in there, because as they say, points he pulls off the odd clean sheet here and there, and he was relatively cheap. Motherwell, Donny mentioned him, Beerith, he's on loan. Is it Ashley he's on loan from, is that right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Arsenal, but I think he's got up here obviously with, I wouldn't say but guaranteed, but the promise of some game time. He did look lively in his minutes. It was a kind of marquee sign when they brought him in. Obviously, injury struck. As Donnie said, 3 games in a week, probably too much. He's getting managed, so I'll probably take the idea of watching this week, and if he does anything, might bring him in the weekend. And I know Spittle's been quiet, but I think I'm a bit of a fixture head. You get 2 game weeks coming up double. I think I'll be taking the punt on Spittle coming up. And it's 2 points. If he hits 2 points, 4 points, it's just a risky take sometimes. Yeah. They're having a bit of wobble, Motherwell, recently, but I think the comeback kind of showed they've still got a mentality still there. So I think the decision made easier for me because obviously Raskin's out. If the Raskin was fit, I might have not made the move this week, but I need to play somebody, and I think Spittle kind of stands out for me, but I'll get more at when we get to transfers.
Next fixture then, we've got Kilmarnock 2, Aberdeen 0. It was Vassell that got the opener with an assist from Armstrong, and Marley Watkins got the second. Armstrong ticking along nicely just now. He also hit the woodwork in this fixture, so it could have been a bigger haul. I think him and O'Reilly are probably the must-haves in midfield, in my opinion. O'Reilly is 36.7% owned, but Armstrong only 19.2%, which I was surprised at. Vassell, obviously hitting form as well. 4.9 million striker. That's 4 goals he's got. He doesn't have any doubles on the horizon, but he does face St Johnston next, so that might compel some people to bring him in. And Dabba not in the squad. I think he's got a swollen calf or something like that. So it looks like he's going to be out maybe for the next couple of weeks. I think I'll probably be moving on him anyway. Matty Kennedy stood in. He managed 3 shots on target, but with no goals and no assists this season, I don't think he's an option to consider. In terms of Aberdeen, Mayovsky got Aberdeen's only shot on target in this game. Another team with a European hangover. They almost beat POK, the Greek side, 2-0, but then obviously crumbled and lost 3-2, but it was a hard-fought game. I felt like they were hitting some league form, but I don't know, I'm not so convinced now. Perhaps the busy schedule's starting to get to them. But I'll be interested to hear what your thoughts are. Peter, what do you reckon?
Kilmarnock first, the Derek McInnes derby. I thought Kilmarnock were very worth the value of the result. I think Armstrong, every time I see watching the highlights, but I didn't own him, I was always worried because every time it popped up on that video printer, it was always a goal Armstrong or assist Armstrong. I'm happy he's in my team. I think you mentioned it there, Tom. I think he's given my team. I can't see him coming out. He's everywhere. He's very talismanic. He's set pieces, free kicks, pens. He's always at the back post as well for cross coming. I think he's just a great wee player. The Ndaba situation, McInnes said, couple of games. So, what's a couple of games? Could it be this midweek and the weekend he's back in? Don't know. He is an attacking fullback, so I've got other fires to put out first, so hopefully get more news between now and the end of next week, and then if not, I need to move on to then. With Aberdeen, yep, they don't look very good. I think the knives are out and Robson already. I know he led him to the cup, but because he bowled a defence, but they don't look like they have identity. I know they're up for their game of the season, Donny, like to mention, when they play Rangers. But since that, they're all over the place. You can't even rely on Majowski. And Duke, after having such a great season last season, has fell off a cliff. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know if maybe he was thinking he was getting his move and toys out the pram or not. I don't know. But they just do not look like the same team they were at the end of last season. And it's probably there in the void category for me. And they're still playing Europe, like you said, Tom. So they're playing every second midweek game. They don't get a weekend off because they've got the cup as well. So I wouldn't be touching them right now until an upcoming form, or until they're at Europe, or until they change manager, whatever comes first. And Kilmarnock, I think you can Armstrong. I am not really sold on the striking options. I think that hit and miss, there's probably better value, cheaper there at the same time. And the only defender I was interested in was Ndaba because he was so cheap. He's now he's twice injuries this season, so if this is going to be a recurring thing and he keeps on picking up injuries, then he could be one you have to move on as well. Potentially for a Hibs defender, as you mentioned earlier on, the defence is tightened up.
Donny, what's your thoughts?
Yes, Aberdeen, I think, are a team that are heading towards an inevitable manager change. Robson was coming out, taking the blame for everything. But as you say, the mood in Aberdeen is very much that the time is up. They've got Motherwell tomorrow. You know, they don't get anything out of that. They've then got a cup semi-final, lose that. They've got Celtic in the next game. They might want to make a change before then. They could do a lot worse than the Kilmarnock manager himself, but that's for another time. From the game, I mean, yeah, to see Armstrong getting returns is good. It's somebody I've backed since I did my wild card week four. So he's just a mainstay. He'll get returns. He takes corners, free kicks, penalties. He's involved in a lot of the play for them. I probably ditto what Tom said about Vassell. I put him in my expert tips this week because when you're on form and you're playing St. Johnstone in your next game, then, you know, you should be able to back yourself there. I suspect that Beerith will probably get the nod just because he's got that extra game to take the opportunity. But for Aberdeen, they're the blank and then have Celtic. It's an avoid. Kilmarnock, I wouldn't go wild. We always say this when they get a good result, but I wouldn't go wild. If you want a cheap defender, go for it, or Vassell, but I wouldn't triple up. You want to spread your assets, but certainly Armstrong should be a mainstay of everyone's team. So, no, good will for Kilmarnock, and a terrible week finishing it off for Aberdeen.
Yep. Final fixture then, we've got Rangers 2, Hearts 1. For Hearts, it was Shankland that scored with an assist from Cochran. Tav missed a penalty, then scored a penalty. And then Danilo got the winner with an assist from Tav. So it was zero to hero for Tav, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. Raskin was obviously stretchered off, and he's had some recent form, so I'm not too sure where the prospect is within the Rangers midfield. Obviously, it was Cantwell. Towards the end of last season, he won the penalty, but we've not seen that much from him. Stats-wise, Lundstrom managed 6 shots. I don't know if he's going to be perhaps the new flavour of the week there. There's not really any Rangers midfielders I'm getting excited about, but I'm looking forward.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Got to hear what Donnie's got to say. The do blank and the game week 12. I've got Seema. I'll probably end up getting rid of him. There's a lot of strikers that are hitting form just now, and I can't afford to have another non-playing slot, since I've only got two playing defenders these days. For Hearts, almost another clean sheet to add to their tally. The goals came in the 90th and 93rd minute. Cochrane provided the assist, and he's quite cheap at 2.8 million. I seem to remember Hearts defenders being a bit more expensive, but I think he was injured, so perhaps his price has dropped. He's only played 3 games this season, no clean sheets. I don't know if that's a telling sign. But Donnie, what's the lowdown on the Rangers?
Well, it was a game that nearly ruined my weekend. Senior rivals dropped points, and then losing an early goal was a bit of a nightmare. But the thought of coming on here and talking about another defeat was not appealing in the slightest. But as the saying goes, if you missed your first penalty, you'll always get a chance for your second. So that was always good to see. But I do joke, still one less penalty than Celtic this season, so can't really argue with that. I think anyone that remained patient or loyal to Shankland certainly rewarded 2 goals in 2 games. I thought it was a really good goal. There's not much you can do. He just got the jump ahead of the defender and put it the only place the keeper couldn't get a hand of it. So at the moment, there's still a lot of injuries. There's still a bit of a makeshift team, but it certainly is a game that we wouldn't have got anything out of under previous management. So that is a big tick as far as I'm concerned. I think you've just got to stick with players that are getting the game time at the moment. So Tavernier, same for me at the moment. Cantwell's coming back from injury, but it's certainly getting the starts of the game. I think Danilo, when he starts getting the starts, I think that's an option as well. He likes a Lundstrom. He's not a player that will really provide too much in the points, but if he's having shots on targets and making passes, then you do get your returns that way as well. So just have to wait and see. Certainly in the games that they have played, obviously demolished Hibs, got a good result away in Europe. And this, as I say, a win that we would never have got under previous management. So that's all positive things. As I say, both teams blank in game week 12, so wouldn't be rushing out to add. If you think Shankland is at the start of something, then that might be one to watch. But, you know, must have been a sickener for the Hearts fans. They've got the Cup semi-final this weekend. And ultimately, it was a good win, and I managed to enjoy my tea on Sunday, knowing that we could talk about it today. So, no, happy for me. A good performance. Close the gap. What more can you ask for?
Yep. Peter, what's your thoughts?
Shankland could be heating up, what Donnie said. I think that's one to watch. He is pricey. We do blank. So, I mean, obviously, people have held him. I can probably create a lot of people may have took him out before he played City and Rangers, and then he's returned in both games, but that's just the luck. He is a good striker. I think, me personally, no, my agenda with Hearts, I think it's the managers kind of holding them back. I think a better coach would probably get more out of them. I mean, he's dubbed Stevie Knee Idea on Twitter by the Hearts fan rather than Naismith, so I quite like that one. It's childish as it is, I like that because it's so simple. Rangers with Tavernier, I mean, you know, of Rangers sport and friends and work, and they, even though they won, they were still not convinced by these players. I think a lot of players want to get to January and revamp my squad. I think Tavernier threw 70 crosses into the box. Eventually, one of them's going to hit a target. I think that's the way Swanee described it to me. Don't mention midfield. I don't think there's a midfielder that stands out who wants to step in. Cantwell's not fully fit yet, so he's not flying, and he's not in that position where you think, is he playing behind a striker yet? I want to see more. We're going to get more, obviously, the game team coming. And if he is nailed that number 10 kind of slot, more attacking, then I think Cantwell goes back to him, no problem. A bit annoyed Rask came down injured because obviously I'd jumped to him. That was a nice one. As Tony said, he would tick over nicely throughout the season. Got his first goal last week. I think he'd have been easily sitting in there. But Seema for me, Tavernier for me, and I'll have to wait and see how they pan out because you'll play in this midweek, then it's a cup, and then it's Europe before the next game week for Rangers. Right, so there's three games that you can watch and see Clement's getting more his position. I know the injuries are hampering him, but the players are all fit. You'd like to see who's playing, and Mai's strongly on Cantwell if he plays in that role.
Yep. So just round things off with the top 10. Obviously, Shaughnessy comes in at number one, a defender with a brace with 21 points. Mandron comes in at second with 16. Kilty with 13, as does Beerith. Tab also got 13. Portales, the Dundee defender, got 12, sorry. Lewis Miller with 11 that we mentioned. Simon Murray at Ross County got 11. Vassell, 10. And Shankland, 9. Which gives us no goalkeepers, 4 defenders, just 1 midfielder, and 5 forwards making up the top 10 this week. What's your guys' thoughts on that, Peter?
Minus Tavernier, a very random bunch of names.
Yeah, absolutely. If you caught some of that, well done. But not for me. Tav is it. And reflected in the scores, I guess.
Right, okay. Right, Donny, you have a dive for this week, so you take it away.
I do indeed. So I've been on holiday this last week, and my rule is that I never go back on a Monday. So I always take the Monday off after my holidays. You know, who wants to go back on a Monday? So today is my first day back at work. So I had to decide whether to ditch the dive and get caught up in a week's worth work of work, or look into something that would help the fantasy football community. So here we go. This week's dive is on game week 12. Just a disclaimer there, I am very good at my job and in no way compromise my workload to prioritise fantasy football podcast. Okay? So, depending when you listen to this, game week 11 might already be underway, so I'll help you all with game week 12, which throws up a unique blank and double game week for us all to consider. So, first of all, the reason for the blank is we've got the League Cup semi-finals this weekend, featuring Rangers, Hearts, Hibs and Aberdeen, not Celtic. However, only 3 of these teams blank, so we'll get these game weeks back at a future date. There's nothing, I think there's 1 week in December, but apart from that, it looks likely to be into January, February time. So the blank teams are Aberdeen, Hearts and Rangers. So from a fantasy point of view, you don't want to be adding in any of these players to your team because obviously they're not going to play in game week 12. So if you're going to hold on to your Rangers assets, for example, you'll need to make sure you've got a good bench. So obviously your full squad's going to be utilised. For me, I'm only carrying 2 Rangers players, no Aberdeen players, no Hearts. So I'll manage to get through this okay. If you've got any more than 3 players across these teams, then you're going to be in trouble because you'll use your bench. You've maybe got a non-playing player, you're going to struggle to get a full team out. So just be mindful of that. So the double game week only applies to Motherwell, who play Kilmarnock and St Johnstone both away. After that, they then have Hearts and Celtic. So if you're going to load up on Motherwell players, just be mindful that those last 2 games, Hearts and Celtic, might be a bit trickier for them. If you can get to the triple without taking hits, then I think there is value there. The usual names are going to come up in conversation. A Motherwell defender, Spittle, Beerus is probably going to be your trio there. If I was pushed to just decide on 2, I would probably just go with Spittle and Beerus. You know, you can lose goals for any team in Scotland. So, you know, up front and midfield will probably get you better returns. I took a Motherwell defender in last week, so I do have space to make it 3 this weekend. Now I can do that by either rolling tonight or making 1 change tonight and 1 on Saturday. The other fixtures in that game week, we've got Celtic play Ross County, so you'd expect an easy win for Celtic. Dundee at home to Livingston, which is a repeat of the fixture they've just played. Hibs are away to St Mirren. Kilmarnock play Motherwell and St Johnstone play Motherwell, so that's obviously 2 Motherwell games there. So just to summarise, Don't add Rangers, Aberdeen or Hearts into your team at this moment. Wait until the game week's finished and then see where you are. If you've got more than three players from these teams, then look to change that out. Otherwise, you will lose. Make sure you've got a full bench. Don't go selling your Rangers players because you're probably going to want them in the following week. Make sure your bench is strong and target Motherwell. Any future double game weeks and blanks, we will just see as and when. Tom touched on the St Mirren one in game week 14, so I'll look ahead when the time comes there. So I've already started planning for the double, guys. Are you looking to triple up on Motherwell, Tom?
No, I don't think I'll be tripling up. I think if Beerith gets through the Aberdeen game and looks good, I'll probably be ditching Seema for him. I've got Tav as well, which I'll just keep a hold of. And I've also got Clark and goals. So that's my two. I'll probably actually have to stick with Clark. And hopefully by that point, I'll be able to bench Tav for a player that's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll probably just be Beerith for me.
Okay.
And just try and juggle that position about, I think.
Okay. Peter, are you going to have more than one Motherwell player on your team?
Yes. I've got three Rangers right now. No Hearts, no Aberdeen. So Raskin's one of the players. So I've already alluded to probably move to Spittle this week. And like Tom mentioned, if he gets through the game against Aberdeen, then I think Beerif probably for Seema just for that game week. And that gives me the two. And on the back end of that, you already mentioned St Mirren game week 14, Motherwell fixtures change. I would just be changing off probably Motherwell midfielder in here. Maybe a certain defender for that game week. This gang is two transfers in between, so it's probably quite easy just to move into it and move back out of it.
Yeah, okay. So that's game week 12. As I say, there's blanks and a double for Motherwell. Plan ahead for it and see how you get on. I imagine we'll probably see Motherwell blanking or losing both games after all of this build up, but that's the joy of fantasy football for you all. So game week 12 this weekend, into the middle of next week. It'll probably still be on by the time we chat this time next week, so we'll get an idea of where they're at and see if these changes worked or not. Okay.
Right, good. Well done. Right, we'll move to fixtures. No, sorry, we'll move to fixtures. We'll move to questions. I dropped my head to myself here. So, first question is from FPL Liger, our cup finalist. We've kind of alluded to it so far in the podcast, so we'll go into the detail of the question. Kelty seems to be overshadowing O'Hara, who hasn't had the same output since injury. Is Kelty a better option? And I'll go quickly first because I watched the game and it did look like he was playing more forward. Maybe that was just a purple patch. But for me, until I see more, maybe another couple of game weeks, O'Hara's on penalties, and that just is a clincher for me. But I wouldn't be against it. And if you jump to Kelly, I think Liger's asked this question before about Kelly, by the way. If he'd jumped on Kelly a couple weeks ago, well, then you've stolen match of everybody else. But for me, I'm still probably in the O'Hara camp for the double game week. What's your thoughts, Donny?
Yeah, I mean, it's personal preference. If you've got Kelty and you've got those points, hold on to them. If you've got O'Hara and you've maybe missed out the last couple of weeks, I wouldn't make the change from O'Hara to Kelty. Mm-hmm. Because he takes penalties, that's enough for me. If they double in game week 14, I'm happy to keep O'Hara. But for consistency, O'Hara just edges it. I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't double St Mirren in midfield. I wouldn't change O'Hara for Kelty. I would only bring Kelty in. Or if I already had him, I would just stick with him. So it maybe is a better option, but I think over the long term, O'Hara edges it.
Tom, thoughts, Kelty or O'Hara?
I'm going to be controversial and go with the opposite here. Though if I did have O'Hara, I probably wouldn't sell him. I think you're probably going to be wanting to do more with your team than just go from O'Hara to Kelty. But I don't know. I think Kelty was a key asset in at least one of the previous seasons when he played at Kilmarnock. He did well there. So he's proved that he can do it before. I don't know if O'Hara is starting to become just a one-trick pony. It's just the penalties that seem to be the attractive aspect there, whereas Kelty does offer a bit more attacking-wise, more advanced, and he seems to be getting results now, as we've seen, based on the scores for the season. I think Kelty's now 15, 16 points ahead. So I prefer Kilty in this situation. If you don't have any St Mirren and you're going to start building towards that double game week.
Yep, they're both good options, I think. It's a duty preference, like you said. I mean, probably if it was on a wild card, I probably would have jumped to Kilty because you've played well and they'll try to kind of find the form players. But it's one to watch, see the watch the highlights, see if you can see how the team sets up and see who's playing further forward because, as Tom mentioned, if he's playing in a more attacking role, then it's not like you get penalties all the time. But you also run that risk of the week where you'll sit there and get a penalty or two in the trot and then you're behind eight balls snooker. Next up is improving Scottish football. Do you think it's best to perma-captain Kyogo or Tav or keep rotating between them? And I'll let you go first, Donny.
You don't need to rotate, but this is just a reminder for everyone. When you vice-captain a defender, you only secure the clean sheet points as a bonus. If they score, you get nothing extra. Whereas with a forward, if you vice-captain them, you get the goal bonus, and that's uncapped. So if they score 2, 3, or 4 goals, you'll get that bonus for each goal. So for a defender, as a captain, you'll get double points on goals, assists, clean sheets. Whereas for a striker, you're going to get double points on the goals if you vice-captain them. So you're only going to miss out on bonus points, really, on that one. So for me, I think it's going to be standard for the rest of the season is to captain Tav and vice-captain Kyogo. Don't try and chop and change. If you keep that, you're going to get the best out of both players. You're going to get the goals returns from Tav, the goals returns from Kyogo, and the bonus points for Tav, because if he scores, you're going to get bonuses. So that's the best way to play it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, it's the player out of position. Tavernier's an attacking fullback. He's a penalty taker. So he's more roots into points. And he plays for Rangers, so he's going to get more defensive points and more penalties because it's Rangers. But so it's just, to me, that was used, mate. It just makes sense. He's got more roots to points and you get a double the points. Obviously, Kyogo doesn't get more roots to points. He's only got the goals and he's playing for Celtic for goals. So unless something changes, unless formation changes or injuries, and it's straightforward, you just go for it. We've tried to be cute a couple of times this year and come off it and it's backfired. I think it happened to all three a couple of weeks ago. We could backfire with Tav. So it's just set and forget both of them until something else changes. Or unless a striker gets hot like Van Dien last year and he's got a nice run of fixtures. But I'll be still be saying the same as Donny. Kyogo, vice, Tav, captain. Same, Tom, or controversial?
Yeah, I don't understand why you would rotate.
Maybe he takes it home fixtures. Maybe he's trying to think that. Yeah.
But just because Tab has so many avenues into getting points and Kyogo, he doesn't really even assist that much. He just kind of, it's either goals or nothing.
True, yeah.
I think, I don't know if Kyogo would be perma vice. I think that if you're maybe wanting to try and make ground and there's certain players hitting form, Kyogo's perhaps maybe not in the best form. If you think a player's going to do well, then I think there is merit in maybe looking at other vice-captain options and maybe try to take some chances here and there. But I, in terms of the permanent captain, it's probably going to be on Tav, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm still surprised he's only 70% owned in the game. I'm surprised at that when these people are brave. Right, next up is Gavin. What's the numbers after his name? I have planned to get Beerithin as soon as he's fit, but who to sell? Kyogo or Shankland, Tom?
I'd be interested to hear who his third striker option is. Probably Shankland, really. I'd maybe hold Shankland for the Livingston at home game and then get rid going into game week 12 rather than do it this game week. That's probably the route I'd go down. He has scored in this game. Week he has scored against Rangers, but given his price and given his lack of consistency this season and the fact that there's lots of cheaper strikers surpassing what he's providing and much cheaper, than I'd be getting rid of Shankland. Those are the only two options he's providing.
Same question, Donny.
Just because Shankland blanks, then that's going to make it easier. He's probably more informed than Kyogo, unfortunately, but the blank, I think, is the main reason why you sell it. To me, unless Kyogo gets injured, I can't see myself dropping him. I know things have gone quiet at the moment, but he can explode at any time. So I would keep Kyogo and sell Shankland if you have to.
Yep, I agree. I would just be Shankland, and the blank just compounds it even more. Right, next question is from FPL Showroom. Who do we need to target for the blank in game week 12? I think we've kind of covered this quite often with Donnie Dunne's dive. Motherwell, yep. Probably. And we mentioned the names. Beerith, if he's fit. A defender, you might go down that route. Spittle or another midfield, you might be cute. But I think we covered that, so I don't have anything else to add there. And next up is from FPL Kenobi. So, first season playing Fantasy Football Scotland. Played the FPL for 20-odd years. Interested to how the blanks and potential doubles usually play out in the Scottish game. When is your optimal times to look at chips, etc.? Liking also holding both wild cards if I can or want to. So, Donnie, you're not this kind of man for this stuff like this. So, you already mentioned it in the pod a wee bit. There's no more spaces for the blanks to come in already. Yeah. So, there's many teams. There's three teams. That right? Three teams have got a game in hand now. So, they will play probably, unless they announce there's one game week, you said. If not, it'll be next year.
There's a game week in December, but December is really chock-a-block. Yeah. Don't see them doing that. You've also got weather in December as well. Can't be great. So these games will probably come about next year sometime. You get plenty. You tend to get plenty of notice on them. So he's asking for how to play chips. The good thing about the Scottish game is that you can just play all your chips at once if you wanted to. So you can wild card, you can bench boost, and you can triple captain all in the same week if that suits you. Wildcard is a personal preference. You know, Tom likes to hold on his, whereas I played mine in game week 4, and Peter obviously just played his with great success. So it's just how your team's doing. In terms of double game weeks, as a rule of thumb, you're generally looking for a game week that's got Rangers playing twice or Celtic playing twice, or the combo where they both play twice. And then making your hits there, you know, if you can get triple captain Tav in a double game week, you know, you can certainly explode. So that's what you're looking for as far as that's concerned. In terms of wildcard, as I say, I did it early doors to get rid of the duds. Peter, you did it. You managed to capitalize on a rhyme affected game week. Whereas Tom, you know, he's potentially nursing his team and losing ground. Which is then hard to make up, because what you'll see towards the end of the season with the price changes that everyone's team looks the same. So we will give you hints and tips along the way, but you need to make the decision. The good thing is you get two wild cards, so if you do make one now, you've got the rest of the season in which to make the other one. And as I say, the chips, you can play at any time. You don't have to do anything tactical like you do down in the FPL. So hopefully you're enjoying the Scottish game, and I certainly do. And for me, just go with your gut, see how it takes you, and listen to us, and take our advice. You won't go too wrong.
And add to that, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know about losing ground. I half my rank this week.
No, that's good, but you just struggle. If you don't make big changes, you might find, you know, you're just ticking one at a time, and you might be missing out on hauls, but it's worked out for you in the past. I certainly wouldn't complain from that respect.
Yeah. In terms of how things usually pan out, I don't know. I think targeting the doubles, it's always been a letdown. I don't think there's ever been, since the game started, I don't think there's ever been that one game week that we all remember. And
I
we
got
all
it
got
once. Tom Roderick, 48 points. It's good.
Oh, really?
Angie's first season, I think. It was a double game week in Celtic twice, and Roderick scored and assisted in both games, and it worked for me that one season. There you go.
Right.
Humble boaster, there you go.
Under normal circumstances, it doesn't normally play out that well. I think last season I used the wild card in two consecutive weeks to try and target a double and then get right back out of it again without having too much cash tied up on the bench. This might be the same sort of approach I go down this season. But budget's so tight this year, it's very hard to get a playing bench. There is a few sort of cheap defenders that start and are kind of coming to play a little bit, but it's still going to be quite tricky. So I would probably just go with your gut. I don't think there's a hard and fast method like there is with FPL, where everyone kind of holds on to things until like game week 32 or whatever, where there's a big double, and then your captain's usually the most obvious captain you can think of that plays in a double game week. So probably everyone's going to captain Haaland in a double game week in FPL, and everyone's going to be either disappointed or you know, just mediocre because everybody else did it. So I'd probably stick with double game weeks, try and target a double game week. But no, I don't think there's a hard and fast template as there is with FPL.
No, no. You could get lucky one week and pick the right player that goes nuts. I mean, there will be hat-tricks kicking about, especially at home, Celtic Rangers, so you can maybe nail the right player. Ideally, you would like to think, if you get enough notice for the Rangers, Harps and Aberdeen double, if they're all playing the same game week, you could potentially use wildcard into it, triple and bench boost all in the one game week, and you can maximise your points that way. If they all play the same game week, I mean, that could, then you also could fill up the rest of the team up with another Celtic, a good fixture that week and whoever, and you could work that way. But if Rangers got double game week, and it could, see the game week cancelled, don't you? Is that a home game or an away game?
I've absolutely no idea. Probably an away game because we just played two home games, so, most likely it was an away match.
Because I was thinking if you get two home games, Tavernier twice at home would have been ideal, but then you've got to assume a lot of people are doing the same thing as you. But there's a lot of cards, a lot of tips been used when you go through the top 100. You can see it already. People kind of spunked away so far. So
it could be a home game because it's Dundee away, blank, Livingston away.
It is. I'm looking at it now. It's St Johnstone at home. So that would be a juicy one in a double game week if it's...
That falls into the home game weeks and the one bounce. So that's something to watch going forward that could be a good one to go for. And even then, you could play something different with your vice-captain. You could have Cantwell that week, vice-captain in two games. You could have Seema if he keeps his form up. So you could be going away for the pack and it could work for you. But again, we'll keep you updated when the fixtures land. Sotty again is always updating his ticker if you don't follow him yet at Sotty Show. And it just something I've been told him now, but then there's Donny Olmes as well. Winter in Scotland's terrible, so you could be forced into a wild card at some point if a couple of games hit bite the dust and you don't have a team to put out. That's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. I think that's our last question. Right, so the fixtures, and then I want the captain, base captain, and transfers. Let me look and see. So we've already mentioned it, three teams in the pod coming up. We have got, you're only going to have one. This is actually next week. I am talking nonsense. Game week 11. So tonight, one game to team news early. Hibs and Ross County. And then tomorrow, we've got St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, Motherwell, Aberdeen, Hearts, Livingston, Dundee Rangers, Celtic, St Mirren. Obviously, that is followed quickly by the second game week on Saturday. And that is a blank and double. Ross County, Celtic, again, that's the only team news you're going to get that week. Kilmarnock, Motherwell, Dundee, Livingston, St Johnstone, Motherwell, and St Mirren, Hibs. So I know that's two sets of fixtures, but you also have four planning here at the same time. What is your captain, vice captain, and transfer plans this game week, Tom?
So I've only got two playing defenders. It's James Brown and Tav. Stevenson doesn't play for Hibs. Tim Pax doesn't even see the Livingston bench. And Ndaba's out. So I probably have to make a defensive move.
Wild card.
No wild card. I'm thinking of probably going for Obita or Lewis Miller at Hibs. They play at Ross County at home, and I don't know. I do have a couple of Ross County players. Simon Murray's, I've obviously championed him in the past, but if I go Lewis Miller, at least there's a chance of some attacking returns there. And I do like Hibs. Run of fixtures going forward, as mentioned. They've just got rid of Celtic and Rangers out of the way there, so they've got a nice run going forward, so might be planning ahead with that one. Ideally, I would probably want to be going for St Mirren, but obviously they've got Celtic this game week, and Motherwell, I don't really want to triple up. As Peter mentioned, the points seem to be distributed amongst the other players. Bareth, I don't know if he's going to be fit yet. Spittle's not really been on form, and they don't really keep a lot of clean sheets, so I'm reluctant to go down the path of Motherwell either, so it's maybe just going to be Hibs. Captaincy, Tav. Vice-captaincy, I don't know, given Celtic's form, I could be tempted to go away from Kyogo, but it's sitting on Kyogo just now, and probably will stay there.
A bit risky this year, Tom. Same question you, Donny.
So I might do a rare roll. I don't think I've rolled this season. And then doubled at the weekend. I probably will triple up on Motherwell, bring in Spittle, bring in Beerus, because they can easily become St Mirren players over game week 13 and 14. So I think for me, that is the way to go. Certainly for this game week, I'll captain Tav, vice-captain Kyogo. Because they don't play the weekend, I will maybe look to certainly a Celtic player and a Motherwell player. I'll see how I feel come the weekend. So yeah, you won't have captain Tav at the weekend. You'll need to jump onto somebody else there. But I think Celtic, Ross County is a juicy fixture, albeit away from home. I think there will be goals in that one, so I might have a Celtic double at the weekend.
You can jump on the captain tab weekend if you want. I'll move to your vice captain.
I definitely won't. I've played this game before.
Right, I'm the same thing as you, Donny. Spittle's the one for me. I know he's patchy, but he's the one that I think. I would have probably rolled this week if Raskin wasn't injured. I'd have just rolled one more week and then two again next week, but I'm better having 2 points and no points if I'm looking at it. So Spittle in this week, and if Bayriff's the flavour of the month, everybody's talking about him. If he comes through this game week, looks better, or looks good, then I can go in for the double. And as Donny mentioned, it's just once the game week's out of the way, I'd be moving from there to game week 14. If Bayriff is playing and he's scoring, then he'll stay in the third midfielder, first striker, and Spittle will become O'Hara / Kilty. And then the defender at the back would become a strain, probably / Danza for the game week 14. Yeah. That's the way I'm kind of... Injuries, missing that, that's the way I'm looking at it. And it's captain Tav, vice-captain Kugel this week. And as Donny mentioned, probably a double Celtic captain, vice-captain next week, depending on injuries again.
Yep.
Okay, right, that's us then. So we're back next week through middle of a game week, but we'll cover it as it is. And that's all I've got to say. So before we go, get your plugs in, Tom.
I'm at @FFS_Scout.
Donny.
I'm at @FFS_Donny.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.